There is a lot of killing in Game of Thrones. For sheer on-screen butchery, there's not much to rival it. Steve Paulson has watched all three seasons, and he wonders how much of that hacking and chopping is historically realistic. So he called Kelly DeVries, a medieval military historian who consults on scenes just like this.
Kelly, I guess I should actually ask, are you a fan of Game of Thrones?
Oh, yes, I'm a fan. I watch all the medieval stuff. I've watched some really bad medieval. This is a lot better, thank heavens.
How realistic are the weapons?
Oh, the weapons are wonderful. Sometimes I have real questions because I do a lot of work with the Royal Armouries in England, and arms and armor historians can be very particular. There are some really bad suits of armor in medieval movies and in TV shows over the time. This one has set out to make things real or plausible at least. Let's put it this way. If I got hit by a sword in Game of Thrones, it would hurt. And if I got hit with a sword in the Middle Ages, it would hurt. And it probably would hurt the same.
Did armor really protect people? I mean, would it protect someone from getting sliced by a sword?
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes some of my colleagues will say, no, on mail, which is chain mail for everybody else. There's this mythology about hitting the armor and the rings will just burst. They didn't. I've seen experiments, and then I've had TV shows that I've been consulting actually take the biggest guy they could, put a mail coat on a mannequin that moved, and then put what would have been underneath, leather or padded felt or something, and just take a whack at it with whatever weapon you've got. They never can break through that armor. I mean, there's no doubt if you got hit with a big sword, you would feel it for days afterwards, but you wouldn't be cut.
Have you ever tried this? I mean, putting on a suit of armor and having someone whack you?
I have, and let me tell you, it takes a little bit of guts. At that moment where the swing is in progress, suddenly your beliefs go right out the window and you say, okay, have I been completely wrong on this? And then when it bounces off, you feel very, very justified and also kind of thankful that you were right. One of the things I did was wear a suit of armor that was based on Henry VIII's suit, which is kind of insulting because it was the only one I could fit into. But when it came down to it, I was absolutely impressed by the way that armor moved. In many ways, you know, having played football as a kid, it was far better than football uniforms.
Isn't armor really heavy, too? I mean, isn't it like weigh lots of pounds?
When they get to plate armor, you're looking 60 pounds. Then add the helmet onto that. And it can go up. I mean, tournament armor, which was the most protective armor, is obviously the knights there were less worried about movement and much more worried about protection when you're charging at somebody else with a horse and a lance. That armor can go well up to 80, 100 pounds. It takes two people to arm anyone. You cannot put armor on yourself.
Yeah. Now, when we watch Game of Thrones, I mean, obviously there's nonstop action. People are dying constantly. Battles are on every front. Is that what actually happened back in the Middle Ages?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there was war constantly. The difference is that not many people did die. And not many people did die because the armor was so protective. And also battles were extremely short, 2 hours maximum usually. There's one or two battles that I calculate to be about 20 minutes total.
Why were they so short?
Well, because the object is not to kill the other side. The object is to get them to run away.
Of course, the movie version is you're fighting for your honor or you're fighting for your countrymen and, you know, you're going to fight till you can't stand anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a more modern concept if you think about it. If you were a town's militiaman or you are, even if you are a paid soldier, often you're told who you're fighting for. Honor is a nice concept, but if you're a single man in a line of other townspeople and somebody says, oh, you're fighting for that guy over there who's extremely rich and he's got a nice banner and he's very colorful and everything else, that tie to that man is going to dissolve as soon as you start seeing bloodshed and the trauma of battle and so forth.
Now, the other thing about Game of Thrones, I mean, speaking of the violence is, I mean, there's just a lot of brutality in this show. Yes. I mean, this is probably the signature feature of Game of Thrones. I mean, people get their heads chopped off, other mm-hmm. body parts too. There's torture fairly routinely. Mm-hmm. Did this kind of thing happen?
Not often. Even at the Battle of Hattin, for example, in between the Second and Third Crusade, the one that Saladin wins, most of the Crusaders live. And because of Saladin's piety as a Muslim, he's not going to kill individuals who might actually convert to Islam. There was a real value of human life in Christianity for Europe and in Islam for the Middle East.
So all those TV scenes of people getting beheaded or having their hands chopped off, that really didn't happen.
It's funny, one time there was a TV show asked me, what about a beheading? We'd like to see a beheading. And I said, well, if you think about it, I mean, you're looking at a man who's wearing a helmet, which descends onto his neck. Then he's wearing mail coif underneath that, which will cover the neck. Then he's probably got armor that's coming off the torso that's covering his neck. So you have to get through those three layers of armor. Then whatever he's wearing underneath, leather or padded felt. Then the skin, the muscle, the bone, and back out the exact same way. The likelihood of that, of a beheading, is very, very slim. So they said, well, why? How would someone kill a person on a battlefield? And I said, well, you disable him. You knock him silly with your sword or with your mace or whatever. And then everybody had a dagger. And at that point, you went up and you lifted up the armor that was covering the neck and you went in there. Or you lifted up the armor that was covering the armpit, went into the heart. Or you lifted up the armor that was covering the groin and you went into the femoral artery. And the TV show says, well, we can't show that. So they could show a beheading, but an actual death when somebody is, you know, the fact of the matter is there was no reason to kill anybody on a battlefield. In fact, if you were a lower class citizen, a poor individual, you actually wanted to capture that guy because it was an ability to get his ransom. And he was much more wealthy than you were. I call it the yuppie program in the Middle Ages. It was an immediate economic boost. So when you do find that people are killing prisoners on the battlefield, such as the Ottomans at Nicopolis or Henry V at the Battle of Agincourt, everybody decries it. It's not just that they can't understand it, but economically it's just really stupid.
So one thing I'm still trying to figure out is why we keep getting all of these medieval stories that are just hugely popular in movies, in TV. I mean, you've mentioned Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings. I mean, the list goes on. Yeah. What is it about the Middle Ages that just that gets us?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. First of all, I think that it is a period where you do see honor that still can be between individuals. The notion of a man standing next to a man so that he can actually feel his breath, so you actually feel it leaving him with this death stroke, that produces a personal connection with your enemy that is gone in later periods. So I think the notion of of honor becomes extremely important to our interpretation of the Middle Ages. So I think that that's one of the reasons. But I think the second reason is we don't have any direct connection with it. We know that our ancestors must have made it through the Black Death because we're here. But we don't, you know, very few of us can trace our lineage back to that point in time. So
we can rewrite the Middle Ages to fulfill our fantasies.
Exactly. And we don't. I mean, could you set something like this in the Vietnam War? Not when people are around who actually know the Vietnam War or even World War II. People would say, no, you can't. It's too close to us. In the Middle Ages, that far away. So we don't have any stock in the actual accuracy of the Middle Ages except for fuddy-duddy professors like myself.
Kelly DeVries is a historian at Loyola University and at the Citadel, where he teaches medieval warfare to the military leaders of the future.